Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. To the ancient Buddha, the old woman Jiyu, gone beyond sorrow, I bow. I pray that she will assist me. Ko Zenji was very, very glad to see Reverend Master. She was given a Japanese version of Sumitra, Jiyu, which means kind friend, and an additional, as it were, religious family name, Ho'un. So her whole name meant the kind friend or the compassionate friend within the Dharma cloud. She was taken around to each of the officers of the temple because their permission was necessary for her to formally enter the temple. And bear in mind that she was in an almost unique situation and coming from quite a different perspective, because she was not Japanese, she was not male. And this remained her koan through the entire time she was there. The director, the officer who was the director, sat across from her and said, "What do you want?" And she replied, "I want the perfection of Zen." I've said before that a koan is a spiritual conundrum or problem that cannot be solved by means of the opposites. In other words, it must be transcended. And yet at the same time, there is no way to work upon it except through the training of daily life, through the training with the opposites. Within 6 months, she had experienced Kensha. Now, I've talked about spiritual experience before in various Dharma talks, and you can read about what happened to her in The Wild White Goose. The important aspect of it is the letting go of self. She was so frustrated and upset that she had come to the point of walking out of Sojiji. She'd even packed her bags, got ready to leave in the middle of the night. On her way down the walkway, it occurred to her, I could be seeing this all wrong. I could be looking at this from the wrong perspective. And it was at that point that everything turned inside out. She went and did the next thing that needed to be done, which was to clean the stairs. And then there was the bucket of dirty water. She looked in the bucket. And saw that the mess of samsara is not the problem. The problem is me and what I do about it. This kensho is described in the Wawaikus in great detail. And Kōhō Zenji made an announcement of it in the meditation hall after morning service. It had been Kōhō Zenji's intention to train her as a Dharma heir. Now, training somebody as a Dharma heir is training somebody to hold and keep the whole of the tradition and have the authorization to produce the whole of the tradition. That is why Reverend Master was able to found monasteries, transmit monks, name her own heirs. This happened because of her determination not to let anything stop her. And when it seemed like she had come to the end of her rope, she had worked for 6 months more on the koan of being foreign and female, of trying to fit in and never being able to, of the differences of language, and the fact that the culture was almost the complete opposite to British culture in all aspects. So trying one thing and trying another. Until the letting go of self and the transcending of the koan. This was due to persistence and determination. And the constant letting go of the unnecessary. The listening to, the hearing and listening to any teaching that was given, treasuring it, and putting it into practice. In order to do this, she had to regard everything as a treasure. Everything as an unparalleled opportunity. She had to regard everything that happened as being for her own good. This is not at all the same as thinking that everything has been set up for one's own good. And this is a fundamental mistake that people make. They think if they regard the universe as somehow conspiring to benefit them, rather than realizing that it has to do with themselves. to continue to search, to continue to take every opportunity to learn from her teacher. And sometimes that meant stepping beyond protocol, beyond her fear, beyond her worry about other people, beyond her worry about reputation. When Dogen went to China, initially, they weren't going to allow him, because he was a foreigner, they were not going to allow him to sit in the meditation hall. They were just going to, and participate in the daily life of the monastery, they were simply going to allow him to study there and be taught. Reverend Master Jiu once threatened, Dogen wrote to the Emperor of China in order to get permission so that he could participate in all aspects of training. Reverend Master Jiu once threatened to write the Emperor of Japan because there was a similar attitude on the part of some people. A good proportion of the Westerners who went and trained in Zen in Japan were not allowed to participate in the life of the community. They attended sesshin. They attended lectures. But they did not get into the nitty-gritty of daily life training. One of the early Westerners who went to Japan paid Reverend Master Jiu a very high compliment. He said, among all the people who went to Japan, she is the one who had the most sitting under her belt, who had the actual more day-to-day meditation. And this is essential for ourselves, because she learned how to apply training in daily life rather than how to apply training purely on the intellectual level or the study level or the intense sesshin level. She learned how to work with her koan of daily life. And it was that she transmitted to us. And that, I would say, is almost the flavor of her lineage. Is that practice is found within one's actual life, within one's actual daily life. In the late 1800s, Sojiji, the temple that Keizan founded, was burnt to the ground. Not an unusual thing in a country where the temples were constructed of wood and paper. In 1898, the location of Sojiji was deliberately moved to Yokohama, which was near the port city, so that Westerners would be able to encounter it. This was in 1898. And the abbot of the time had a nyoi made. A nyoi is like a staff of office. It's a curved scepter made of wood that symbolizes the authorization of teaching. And on it, He had carved his personal seals and the teaching from Joshua, everyday mind is the way, or everyday life is the way. And he left that to go to a truly worthy Western disciple. This was given to Reverend Master Jiu by Koho Senshi. And now exists at Shasta Abbey in the office of the head of the order, where it can be seen. The difficulties of her training in Japan, as I say, are detailed in The Wild White Goose. She found it extremely difficult. But Koho Zenji wanted her to be trained in such a way that there would never be a question regarding her qualifications, so that she could hold the whole of the lineage that came down from Keizan and Dogen, and when Bodhidharma came to the West, back through endless excellent people to the time when Shakyamuni transmitted to Makakashapa. In that story, which is so often misunderstood, of the holding up of the flower and the smiling, Buddhism is often called the transmission of the smile of Shakyamuni, the transmission of the pure, bright, kind heart of Shakyamuni Buddha, the transmission of his compassion and caring for beings. And this also has come down to us as the flavor of our particular tradition, the flavor of kindness and compassion for beings, and the finding of many ways to help beings. And the focus on the person rather than the principle. The Dharma is transmitted down like water poured from one vessel to the other. The same water, if you stand within it, you can see the clarity all the way back to Shakyamuni. The worldly, judgmental, opinionated mind can never understand this. For, as Dogen says, this is beyond personal opinions. This is because we step beyond the self and turning ourselves inside out, arrive homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds, homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds, homage to the scripture of great wisdom.